We honor you with the reverence that you deserve. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. Fully conscious of the limitations of the natural human mind, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. We recognize our need for help and ask for the same. Fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon me, that I would speak truly as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that this word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray, as Lord God, as I speak, the power of the Spirit will be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and speak only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mention in the prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, today I have a very important message. I believe it's a prophetic, timely prophetic message. And I preached it on Thursday to a group of medical students and medical students fellowship in UCH. They invited me, and it was them who chose the topic, and it was them who chose the scripture. But it was extremely timely prophetically. It is entitled The Fullness of God. And we're going to take a few texts. Firstly, we will start with Ephesians chapter 3. Bamisha, keep that up. You can record it so it keeps playback just quietly like that. That's good. Ephesians chapter 3. And we begin to read from verse 16, I think is all right. This scripture I have read and taught here in church. Let's go to verse 15 so we get the context. Paul is praying to God. Of the Father, you know, of heaven and earth, who the family of heaven and earth is his name. Verse 16, because of time. And he says that he, I didn't hear you, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that there is a destination, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't inspire prayers that are not answered. This prayer reveals to us the very heart of God, the desire of God for his people. And that ultimate desire is that we be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean practically? What in the world does that mean? You know, I, over the years, The Holy Spirit has had mercy on me because I always like to find out what the Bible really means. You know, because I understand, like I shared during the Bible study, that the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. And that, you know, and then practically what I can do to really experience what the Bible said. I'm not interested in just, you know, a lot of rhetoric, a lot of hype that just gets us excited, gets one excited, and, you know, we just go away and the reality, we leave it behind. It's what, by the mercy and the grace of God, has distinguished me, you know, by His mercy and His grace. Because I don't just like an ordinary hype and excitement. And then if it's not something that's real and something I'm going to experience, then what's the use? You know, if it's just something to just pump us up and get us, put some adrenaline in our system, you know, get us excited, you know, and then we just leave it. And I find that many Christians are like that. They like the hype, they like excitement. But when it comes to the reality, you know, for two things, they actually don't believe it. So they actually playing a game of deceit. You know, what's the point of shouting and making noise about something you don't really believe and that you never will get? Hello? E.W. Kenyon said this in one of his books, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. He wrote this about 1920. So it's almost 100 years now. And it shows you that, you know, God really... We're really in the time where God really has these things will come, you know, have to come to pass. Many other early prophets. When I say the early one, I'm talking about in our own generation, those in the early 20th century, and even slightly before, like the Wesley brothers and some of the other guys. They all saw these things. You know, you can see this in John Wesley's hymn that we sing often. You know, where he says, finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us be. So many of the prophets saw, but they never experienced in their lifetime. You know, and E.W. Kenyon said, you know, he entitled it New Land Ahead. That's how he put it in his book. He said, some of us, we've seen miracles, we've seen the blind see, we've seen the deaf hear, we've even seen the dove on the verge of death instantly raised up to health and vigor. He said, but so far, none of us have come into that place where we can experience this mighty power on a consistent basis. He said, but we have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus returns, there will arise a mighty army of believers who will learn the secret of reigning in life, of using the name of Jesus and living the victorious, transcendent resurrection life of the Son of God amongst men. He said, we are now in the babyhood stage. He said, we say things to one another that we don't really understand, that have no meaning to our inner consciousness, you know. And he's saying, it would seem we are playing a game of bluff. He said, we are what the Bible calls hearers of the word and not doers only. He said, but we have a conviction that before the end, there will be some people who will take this thing, I'm paraphrasing now, seriously and do it. When I read that, I read it first about 36 years ago, it was 1979, 98. I was just a relatively young Christian. I was 6 months Christian, filled the Holy Spirit. I filled the Holy Spirit in November of 1979. This must have been, you know, January, February, somewhere in there. I bought the book from a Christian bookshop in central London on Weymouth Street. I can't forget it. It's still there, Scripture Union, still there, still in London there, you know. And I went in there and I just, this man, W. Kenyon. At that time, you know, I'd heard Kenneth Hagin, and I think Kenneth Hagin had mentioned him. I hadn't even heard Kenneth Copeland that time, you know. I just took the books and I digested them. And I said, wow, this is something. And so, what do we mean by all, let's bring it down to brass tacks. What do we mean? What is meant in the heart of God by all the fullness of God? Well, to understand it, we need to look at Jesus. Look at the Colossians chapter 1, I think it is, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 19, Yes. For it pleased the Father that in him, who is him? The Lord Jesus Christ, should what? All fullness dwell. So we're beginning to get an idea of what this fullness is. Now, let me, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I need to say this. You need to understand, when Jesus was around, he wasn't operating as God. If you don't understand that, you can't understand all these things we're talking about. So long as you keep thinking Jesus was operating as God, you will not be able to have the faith that you can be like him. Hello? Because God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. But when Jesus was on earth, he wasn't. He was just a man, like you and I. I didn't say he wasn't God. He was God stripped of his divine attributes. So the fullness he's talking about here was a fullness Jesus had when he was here. How can he pray a prayer for us that is not practical? It's certainly not the fullness of the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. It can't be that. Now, move to chapter 2 of Colossians and look at verse 9. You see it again. For in him, that's Jesus again, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, where? Bodily. Kush. Lord have mercy. In other words, Jesus' body was a receptacle, a housing in which the fullness of the Godhead was manifest, living and coming out from. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He put bodily there because of us. That is something happening inside a physical body. It's not something that happened, you know, in the sky or, you know, some transcendent kind of thing. He made it real. Hello? I can give you many scriptures. I'll give you another one. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. That scripture this church is based on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. 11 says, because of time, he gave, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, verse 13. So we understand what the fullness. That's what he was this same Ephesian church. That he explained here. He said, till we all come. Tell you, don't you never say, my Christianity has a destination. This Christian life is a journey. It starts with being born again. But it doesn't stop there. There is a focal point. There is a goal. There is a destination. And Paul reveals it to us. Till we all come. Incidentally, this destination is open to everybody. All. Sadly, not everybody believes it. Or even desires it. But that will not stop. He says, let God be true and every man a liar. The fact that some people don't believe it and accept it will not change the truth, the reality of the truth, and will not deter some of us from getting there. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. The Greek word knowledge, there's the word epignosis. It means complete, precise, exact knowledge. It doesn't mean you know everything. Again, the fullness of the God. It doesn't mean it's omnipotent, omniscience. It just means the complete knowledge of the Word of God that you need to get to this destination. I'm not talking to anybody. It's epignosis. The Greek word gnosis is knowledge. And that's the one that's used in 1 Corinthians 8 where it says that, you know, knowledge puffeth up. It's not epignosis. It's gnosis. It's gnosis that puffs up. When you see him puffed up, he doesn't have epignosis. He only has gnosis. Because if he has epignosis, he won't be puffed up. You can't get epignosis except you are lowly in mind. So people, when you go and get puffed up, you know, it just showed me your knowledge is not complete. You can't know, you cannot have a complete knowledge of God's principles and be proud. You even get, number one, you won't get it. Number two, you know, if you really know as you ought to know, you will know you do not know. Yeah. When you really know God the way He really is, it will always keep you humble, because God is so far greater than you. And you will know that there is nothing you have that you did not receive. So how can you boast? When you see people boasting, they don't know God well. Unto the knowledge, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the what? So we now understand that same fullness, that you might be filled with all the fullness. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. So the fullness of God that is spoken of here is the fullness of the Godhead that we see manifested in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here. That's what it means. I shared a little bit of this, I think, last Wednesday. You know, you see Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, and you see Him look up. You see Him feeding the 5,000. You see Him look up. Why is He looking up? Because His source is not limited here. He is drawing from the fullness of the Godhead, the power of the Father, the power of the Son, although He was here, but He had left His power up there, and the power of the Holy Spirit. He will now draw from that fullness. Anytime He needed anything, He can tap into that fullness, bring it through His body, and manifest. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then Paul now tells us that it is the will of God for us to have the same thing. And then he gives us a road map how to get there. It's not automatic. He gives us a road map. I'm going to come back to the road map. I'm probably going to close the message with that. You know, but for now, suffice to say that God's purpose is for us to manifest the fullness of God in our mortal flesh in this lifetime. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Himself, encourages us here and tells us that the works that He did, we will do also. We'll now turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that God's purpose, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm hitting it running, you know, is that our whole spirit and soul and body. Now, when we got born again, I shared a little bit earlier on during the Bible study, our spirit got born again. Our soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions is being transformed and renewed by the new nature from the spirit. The spirit is the entire inner man. The soul is a part of the inner man that is housed, that is located the same way place where our brain is located. It's up here somewhere. You know, but it's spiritual. It's not physical. The brain is the housing of the soul, just like the whole body is the clothing of the spirit. Spiritual anatomy. When you get born again, the nature of God comes in here. Bible says innermost being, your belly. The life of God is there and inside the hands and all of that. Then that, you know, because your spirit has legs, it has fingers, it has hands, because your spirit has a shape. Hello, somebody. How do I know? The Bible says we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And Jesus said, you have not seen the Father, neither have you seen His shape. And God is a spirit. So spirits have shapes. They're not clouds floating. You know, there's so much that Satan has used to confuse humanity. God is a person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person has a head, leg, body, hand, everything. You know, in the spirit, you know, a spirit body. You know, not a physical body, a spirit shape, a spirit body. And you and I have the same shape. We're made in the same image and likeness like God. And we are wearing our physical bodies, you know, just like I'm wearing this suit. You know, my spirit is wearing my physical body. When we die, you know, if we die, if I can say that, in our generation, praise the Lord, you know, it's not all of us who are going to die. Now, I didn't say that, the Bible said. It said, we shall not all sleep. Now, you can find out whether you want to plug yourself in there or not. That's your faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, let me say, you know, if we die, hallelujah, amen, you know, the body, the spirit puts off the body. The body is just a physical object. Do you understand? It's just like this suit is a physical. The suit has no life of its own. It's only moving because I'm inside it now. Your body is only moving because your spirit is inside it. Amen. If your body takes off, if your spirit takes off your body will just fall to the ground. If they clear, Olubi will answer you. Amen. But the man, the real man, is a spirit who is inside. He'll fly to heaven in less than a nanosecond. Amen. We're talking about things, speeds that are far exceed the speed of light. Speed of light is just the barrier in this natural world. God is not hindered by the speed of light. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, you know, it's cut off and we fly away. It's in Psalm 90. Okay. So, you know, your body, your spirit receives the life of God. But up here, there's a kind of, there are a lot of natural illustrations we can use, especially those of us who, by the mercy and the grace of God, have had some degree of scientific training. That's why education is important in its place. It's not the most important thing, but it is important because God will use natural things to teach us spiritual things. There's what is known as a semi-permeable membrane. Have you heard of it before? There's a concept in biology called osmosis. So what happens is that you can put, like let me just use simple, you know, if you put salt water on one side, you have a big basin, and you divide it into two. On this side, you have salt water. You put salt and water, and you mix it with sugar, and it's sweet. You know, this thing they use for ORT. Okay. And then on this side, you just have ordinary water. Then you now put a cloth in between the two of them. Do you understand? You will see that some of the sugar and the salt from the other side starts passing through the cloth to the other side. You understand? Because that thing, even though there is a demarcation between the two liquids, it is not solid. So some of the other one can start passing through. That's what God wants to happen between your spirit and your soul. Your soul is up here, but it was not born again. So there's still a lot of sin and something here. But here is born again. So God wants osmosis, the life of God, to start coming from the spirit. You start entering the soul and then remove all that rubbish. Because after a while, a state of equilibrium is reached, wherein the same thing that is inside here comes up here. It's called the renewing of the mind. But you have to let it work. You know, it's a semi-permeable membrane. But you can make it solid by stubbornness. So that what is here doesn't go up there. There's where your will and obedience and doing whatever, you know, if you can block it so that what is here doesn't affect what is here. And then what is here remains like the devil. And what is here is like God. But people can't see God. You just lock God up inside. Am I getting clear to anybody? Now, so what happens is what God wants, we're talking about the fullness of God, is that he wants the divine nature in the spirit to permeate, if you like, to flood, to clean out, different expressions, but the same truth. The the nature of sin inside the soul, so that the soul becomes in conformity with the nature of the Spirit. Hello, somebody. Call it, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, revelation, knowledge, you know, humility of the will, and all those things. Everything gets aligned, you know, and becomes like God. Then he doesn't stop there. He now wants to spill over into the body, so that the body too comes in line, in conformity with the new nature inside the Spirit. So you now have a total salvation, Spirit, soul, and body. This is what the apostle speaks of in 1 Thessalonians. I pray God, give me that scripture, put it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Everybody read with me. Say, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy is not holy, it means holy, it means completely. And I pray God that your whole spirit and body, can you see they're all different? So the soul is not the spirit. It's inside the inner man, but it is not the spirit. And body be preserved, what? Blameless unto the coming of the Son of Man. This is a transaction that's done before Jesus comes. It's unto the coming. So it's not something that's going to happen after the coming. It's something that's going to happen before the coming. In fact, it's what's going to trigger the coming. Without this, it isn't coming. Don't care how much you scream and shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I got to get ahead of myself, you know, because I'm trying to cover a lot of ground. You know, so God wants us to have the fullness. This is what he means when he says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So my spirit is full of God, my soul is full of God, and my body is full of God. Hallelujah. You know, and we call it the manifestation of the sons of God, and for good reason. You know, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, because what the purpose of God is to put so much of his life and nature and power into the physical body that it will start showing on the outside for people to see. The Apostle Paul speaks of this thing in, I'll hit this rutted, in Romans chapter 8 verse 10, it's 1 and 11, it contrasts. Paul is writing by revelation, and he's trying to get across to us by the Holy Spirit what happened on the inside. He said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not dead, I'm alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not talking about physically dead, he's talking about spiritually dead. God have mercy on you. All right. And the body is dead. It's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Because it has the nature of sin, it has spiritual death inside it. So he says the body, look at the contrast. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the sin nature, but the spirit is alive, or has life, it has Zoe, because of right standing. Because it's been made in right standing with God by the blood of Jesus. Verse 11 is the good news. Look at it. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Also quicken. Give this to me in the New King James Version. Hallelujah. Good. He that raised up Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your what? Mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the purpose of God is to put the same life that is in the spirit inside the physical body, not the resurrected body, the mortal body. Redeeming it. Thank you, Kule. This is not the, it is not the glorification of the body, it's the redemption of the body. Your spirit has been redeemed. Your soul is being redeemed. And your body must be redeemed. Because Jesus paid the price for all the three. He did not just pay the price for the redemption of your spirit alone. He didn't pay the price for the redemption of your soul alone. He paid the price of the redemption of your spirit, soul, and body. In fact, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, and he will redeem to himself the purchased possession. Hallelujah. He wants it, you know. And until he sees that, he will not be satisfied. The Bible says he will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. If you haven't yet redeemed that body, the travail of his soul would not have been worth all the suffering if that part is not bought. And you know, that's the one people see. Nobody sees your spirit. They don't even see your revelation knowledge. Nobody will see the revelation. This guy is in church. Yeah, he will understand revelation knowledge. If an unbeliever is listening to me now, he won't know what I'm talking about. It's all mysteries to him. Amen. Just they're all crazy. And rightly so. You know, coming from, you know, I understand where he's coming from. Are you listening to me? You know, but you know, the one he cannot deny is when it's now manifest inside the physical body and the woman with the issue of blood touches you and gets healed. Then you get everybody's attention. If it's not manifest in the physical body, you don't get much attention. Hallelujah. That was what drew the attention of people to the Lord Jesus. You know that woman I'm talking about, the woman with issue of blood. How did she know? She heard. The Bible says, now there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood. When she had heard, what did she hear? Ask yourself, what did she hear? You know what she heard? There is one crazy rabbi. The Pharisees, the leaders of the synagogue, they all say he's mad. They say he said his mommy was a virgin. I'm telling you how they used to say it in those days. Because you see, most people didn't know. They say the guy is crazy. You know, they say his mommy was a virgin. You know, and he's a prophet and he's even claiming to be the son of David and is the Messiah. He said, but I was there. There was one day the man was preaching, and as he was preaching, virtue went out of him and healed 20,000 people, and I was there. The woman heard. She said, all this one I've been paying money to doctor, let me go and touch it. The person who told her said, he doesn't even need to pray for you, just touch him. That's what she heard. It was with that faith. She didn't care whether they knew it was her. She just went quietly and pushed her way through the crowd, even though she was having a menstrual because the blood was flowing and she was ceremonially unclean, and it was wrong for her to go out like that according to the law of Moses. In fact, she would have been stoned. But she said, shall we sit here and die? If I stay in my house, I'm going to die. If they stone me, I will die. I'm going to take my chances. I love not my life unto the death. If you're going to go far with God, you've got to be ready to take your chances. Are you listening to me? And she just said, I'm going to go out anyway, and I'm going to touch him. And she did. She just did, you know, went through the crowd. Only God knows how many people she went through. Only God knows how the fear in her heart, if somebody discovers. What's going to happen? If one of the rabbis see me, what's going to happen? If somebody starts shouting, this woman is smelling, what are they going to say? You know, but she said, I'm going to take a chance anyway. If you take a chance on Jesus, you'll never lose. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And she made her way through the crowd, you know, and finally, she was able to get near enough. She didn't ask for prayer. She just touched the hem, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily manifested. The power just went. Jesus knew something went out, but he didn't know who. This is a very significant miracle. No word of knowledge, no word of wisdom. No, it wasn't, there's somebody here, a woman here, you are healed, you are sick. God told me you are going to be healed in Jesus. There's nothing like that. No Jesus name. It was just Jesus there. You know, we just use expression. If Christ is in you, it will manifest. You already have the name, thank you. He just went, pep! The woman, instantly! That's why spirit without measure. She got healed. Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. Peter said, take it easy, Lord. Everybody's pushing and shoving. Only God knows how many people have touched you today inside this crowd. People have been pushing and shoving. So please don't give me all that. Doesn't say no. Somebody touched me. The people just touch casually, but somebody touched with faith. Do you come to church casually, or do you come with faith? As I speak now, power is going out. I don't know what's the problem. You're getting healed now. Are you listening to me? For he sent his word and healed them. And then I'm delivering you from your destruction. Maybe there's destruction has been lined up for you on the expressway. When you leave here, you are delivered. And if there's a need you have in your life, you got to supply all of your need. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. What we mean by the fullness is having it spirit, soul, and body here in this lifetime. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Am I helping anybody here this afternoon? I would think so. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. I don't want to talk about that today. I've spoken about that when I talk about Zion and tares. Because you see, those who are giving life, when they give life out, it causes death in them. That's why they're like Jesus. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. That the life of Jesus, also of Jesus, notice the same, is that same that is in Ephesians. That. Then finally, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. It's a focal point. It's a destination. This is a destination in our Christianity. That, I didn't hear you. The life also of Jesus might be made manifest. What? In our body. Now, because God knows us and how we are, we'll be like Martha, we want to postpone everything to the resurrection. Hello, somebody. I know. Who doesn't know the life of God made manifest in our of course, life of God made manifest in our flesh. Of course, we're going to have the resurrection. We're going to have the. Jesus said, He said, I am. He took it from the future and brought it now. I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother shall rise again. Believest thou this? He said, did I not tell you? And God is saying the same thing to us today. That if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. He called the raising of Lazarus the glory of God. It was power that everybody could see. And nobody could gainsay. We need it today. I've preached. My friends, we have all preached. People are tired of preaching. Everybody wants to see glory. It will shut the mouth of everybody. So in the next verse, he said, same thing, verse 11, that it might be made manifest where? In our mortal flesh, to show us that this is a transaction that's going to take place here and now. It's not something that's going to happen when we get to heaven. So when I talk about the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness that might be filled with the fullness of God is something that's going to take place here. With the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh. I'm not talking to anybody here. This was what the Apostle Paul saw. See, Paul didn't experience it. He just said that. That means ultimately. But he makes it clearer in Philippians chapter 3. Quickly go to verse 10. Am I talking to anybody here? All right. Philippians chapter 3. Start in King James. I'll tell you when to go to Amplified. Don't go to Amplified yet, because of time. He says, that I may know him. Stop. It's good to think. Hello. Turn to your neighbor and say, who is Paul talking about? Himself. Didn't Paul know God? Is it not the Apostle Paul? Is it not Paul that's the road of Damascus? Is it not Paul that Jesus appeared to? Is it not Paul who has said, and he didn't know God? There is knowing and there is knowing. He knew, but he needed to know more. You and I know God, but we need to know God more. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that we might be made conformable unto his death. That's what he was talking about. There we say that we which live are given delivered unto death. Then in other words, just like Jesus died on the cross,
we die, we don't, not on a physical cross, but we die. What happened on the cross was that Jesus was giving Zoe, he was losing Zoe through his blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the word was made flesh. So he was losing Zoe through his blood, and he began to die gradually, spiritually, until the point where all of it was out. When all of it was out, that's when he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Then he died spiritually, and then he died physically. And that's why he went to hell. That was the price that paid for your ticket to heaven. If that hadn't happened, you ain't going to heaven. Are you listening to me? Now, Jesus said, you come and do the same thing. You're not going to be on a cross. But when you pray, you intercede, you pray, and all that, life goes out of you. Life goes out of you for other people, and then you die spiritually. Not, you don't die. But what happens really is that you now begin to trouble on every side. Cast down, but not destroyed. Even your physical body sometimes will feel weak and will sick. You know what you are doing? You are fellowshipping his sufferings. You are experiencing the same way he suffered so that other people could get life. So that you could get life. You are now suffering that other people too will get life. You are being made conformable unto his death. It's a great honor. It's the greatest honor God can give any human being. For you to be like Jesus. To be conformable unto his death. That's what Paul saw. Well, the others were playing church. They were playing religion. Paul saw, he was seeing well ahead of time. Are you listening to me? So he said, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. Now, put this in Amplified. This is the part I want in the Amplified. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. This is a pre-resurrection resurrection. I don't know how else I can. It's a redemption of the body. That's a better expression. It's a, you know, the life of God will now be made manifest in the mortal flesh. Now let me help you here. See, Paul saw this by revelation. He hadn't got there, but he saw it. So next verse, verse 12. I'm going to help you in a minute. Stay in King James. Good. Not as though I had already attained. Were already perfect. But I what? Follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. In other words, this is what Jesus paid the price for. And I want to experience it. Now, in their generation, they didn't. They saw it by revelation, they wrote it down, and they left it to the end time generation, which is you and I. That we might experience the fullness of the Godhead body. Inside the physical body. Have the life of God made manifest inside the physical body. This is the purpose of God. Now, why is it prophetically significant now? In terms of timing. Like I said, these young men, young people, just invited me. I didn't even, you know, at the time they invited me, I just looked at the topic and it was the kind of topic I preached. I said, fine, I'll come. I didn't take particular attention to the dates or anything. It was as the time was approaching, I now realized that this week we are in is the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. The very day I went there was the midday of, it was the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. I didn't realize that. I just went. And I just preached according to the word. And so we're now in the season of the Feast of Tabernacles as I speak. After the Blood Moon Tetrad. There's a Blood Moon Tetrad from 2014 through 2015, as four, tetrad means four. Four blood moons that coincided exactly with the Jewish feasts. And the scriptures reveals to us in Luke chapter 21, verse 25. He said, when you see these things begin to come, say, look up for your what? Redemption draweth nigh. We're in that time now. We're in that place now where that this redemption of the body is about to be made a physical reality for everybody to know. Hence this message on the fullness of God. And so, you know, what I'm about to say now, I'm not going to say thus said the Lord. I won't say that. But I'll say it like Paul said. You know, I don't say this is thus said the Lord, but I say, I believe I have the Spirit of God. You know, we just surnamed Nigeria Joseph. Hello? And I preached last week on the blessings of Joseph. And I explained by the Spirit that those blessings, the blessing of Joseph is actually the blessing of the firstborn, which is either the blessing that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because if you go and read it carefully, you will see that he said that my blessings are greater than the blessings of my fathers. Hello? Now, his fathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What blessing could be greater than the blessing of Abraham? Are you listening to me? It's the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blessing of the fullness of the Godhead. Hallelujah. This is the blessing that was on the head. That, you know, he says it was above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the hills of Koma. Or the hills of Ondo. What do you mean by everlasting hills? He's gone beyond the natural. Everlasting hills. Hallelujah. This is blessing. This is spirit without measure. I don't know how else I can say it. He said you can't measure it. He said it's far above the one that Abraham of my progenitors is a blessing unto the utmost hills. He's talking about spirit without measure. That was on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes you a crown. Gives you a crown on your head. Hallelujah. Gives you a crown. The Bible says in one of the scriptures in the book of Proverbs, you know, it says that, you know, you will inherit glory. You know, it says a crown of glory. Talking about the wisdom of God. Shall she deliver unto you? He's talking about the fullness of Christ. Are you listening to me? He is in coded form, but he's talking about the fullness of Christ. Now, with that understanding, when Joseph got a revelation of what of interpreting the dream of the butler, you know, he thought that it would be time for him to get out of that prison. But God waited two full. I like the word full. He says, after two full... It doesn't tell us how long after. It just says, after two full years. The blood moon, once we saw it, we saw it in the skies. And then we began to find out from God, what does this thing mean? It coincided with Passover in April. It coincided again with Tabernacles in September of 2014. Then there was another one again in Passover of 2015. There was another one again in Tabernacles of 2016. But the one of Passover 2014, the very day that thing happened was when they took the Chibok girls. Showing a spiritual battle, an intense that has started in Nigeria. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, out of the blue, just before this Feast of Tabernacles, the Chibok girls are released. The beginning of restoration. Just out of the blue. And it happened just before the Feast of Tabernacles. It was actually 14th of October. It was exactly 2 years and 6 months to the day. Only God can do that. Now, I know all the girls are not back, but it shows a beginning of restoration. Hence, 2016 was called a year of new beginnings. The restoration is beginning. Scripture again, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, he says, and there was a horn, representing the Antichrist spirit, and it fought with the saints, and it prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days
came and judgment was given. Watch this. And the saints possessed the kingdom, the dominion of God, spirit, soul, and body. So we are now in that season. This is ushering in this time, time of the season of the complete restoration, spirit, soul, and body. The signs in the heavens are combined with what's happening. The Bible says, when you see these signs, the distress of nations, the distress started. The Boko Haram and all of that. We went to the Nigerian elections. Everybody thought Nigeria was going to scatter. Nigeria did not scatter because there is a war. That war hasn't stopped though. It's still going on as I speak, but we are now prevailing. You can see the thing is turning in our favor. Praise the Lord. You see the same war in England, Brexit. You see the same war in America, the Donald Trump campaign, unprecedented. Because these three nations, Nigeria, England, and America, contain the vanguard of the evangelical and Pentecostal church that are spiritually active. If he can cause war and chaos, he will kill majority of those people. And once he can do that, he can delay the plan of God. That's the plan, but it has failed. And this initial victory, this release corresponding, you know, is a sign of encouragement that we should press in. Hallelujah. Have I helped anybody here? So we are all waiting. Hallelujah. To see what God is doing. Glory to God. And so let's begin a roundup. He now tells us, look at Romans chapter 8. So we're in that season now, you know, after the blood was, Bible says Joseph, after 2 full years, it's over 2.5 years now, 2.5 years. So we're expecting, you know, what God is going to do any minute from now. And so that's why we should press on. We should not be discouraged or take our eyes off the ball, because we can actually see a correspondence from what God is doing from the heavens. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. And look at verse, I'm going to read from verse 19. We will close. It says, for the earnest expectation, I didn't hear you, of the creature, or you can, the better translation is the whole of creation, which includes the nations. See, the nations are in distress now. And they are waiting for the manifestation of the Son. They don't know what they're waiting for. But that's what they're waiting for, according to Isaiah chapter 25. He says, when it happens, he says, they will say, this is our God. We have what? Waited for him. Isaiah 45 says, they will say, surely God is in thee. Men of stature. I was asking the students on Thursday. I said, how come not many great men of stature have entered the church? I said, where are all the Bill Gates? Where are all these guys? How come we've not been able to get them in? This is what they're waiting for. When they see it, trust me. Not everybody, but a great significant number will come into the church. Isaiah 2, it says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall what? Flow into it. But they want to see the city that is set on a hill. They want to see it. They're not fooled by all this perverted prosperity message. They can see through it. They can see through the covetousness and all of that. Watch this. You know Pilate? How many know Pilate was an unbeliever? How many know Pilate was an unbeliever? He wasn't a Christian. No. Church tells us he became a Christian later. You know he wanted to free Jesus? How did he know? You know his wife had a dream? But leave the wife alone for the meantime. I'm talking about Pilate now. You know, the Bible says he knew that for envy they had delivered him. How did he know? He could see through the religious spirit. The people who are not born again yet, they can see through hypocrisy. They can see through covetousness. Like one guy told me many years ago, he said, several of these guys are just con men. One of my friends,
Up till today, he's not a Christian yet, but he's already on the way. His wife is, his children are. They're going to lock him up, and there's nowhere he's running to, you know. And he's very open. He used to be antagonistic. We even fought when I got born again. You know, when I say fight, not physical fight. I mean, we just broke off for some time. Then some years later, you know, we really connected. And we're still friends up to now. One day, he just said this to me. He said, Olubi, I know you're a real man. He was the one telling me. I didn't solicit for it. Then he mentioned somebody else. I won't mention the person's name. You know, who, he said, that one's just a businessman. He said, I know. I said, I know you. I knew you before you got. He said, I know you are doing this thing. He said, but a lot of your friends, they're just businessmen. They're just in it for money. He said, but we are watching. True story. Waited for the manifestation of sons of God. Verse 20. Quick. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Jump to verse 23. Because of time. Time is against me. So I want to quickly go. Now he said, oh no. I can't do this. I have to go back to verse 21. Where it talks about hope. He said, we shall be delivered unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh my God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Let me explain this. You see, when Adam fell, God had no choice, watch this, but to submit the whole of creation to Satan, to vanity. You know why? Adam had a legal lease of the earth. So when God was the one who gave it to Adam, have dominion over the fishes, the earth, and everything. So when Adam sinned, he just transferred it to Satan. But God had a hope that the seed of the woman would ultimately bruise the head of the serpent. In hope that the creation, you know, it was God who subjected it, but in hope that the creation will one day be brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20, keep moving. Because the creature, he has a hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's counting on you. God's counting on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we will deliver this creation from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. 23, quick. But not only they, we also, we who have the first fruits, where we speak in tongues, we have the first fruits, but we don't have the fullness of it yet in our body. We are groaning within ourselves, you know, waiting for the redemption. We want to see that manifestation in our body. Verse 24. This is very good. He said, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why is he hoping for it? Verse 25. For if we hope, now this is very important, for that which we haven't seen it yet. He said, but with patience we do what? It's an active waiting. It's not a passive waiting. That's why we're praying and all that. Then verse 26, likewise the Spirit also, and so on and so forth. I preached this recently, so I'm not going to go through all of that again. You know, that's why we pray with groaning and travail. Because what we're trying to do is take the resurrection life from inside the Spirit and push it inside the physical body. So that we'll be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's where we are as I speak. The heavens are speaking. The signs are in the earth. And God is encouraging us to move ahead in this. And that's why this message on the fullness of God now is of great spiritual significance. In closing, I will say this. I'm going to go back to my roadmap. How do we go from where we are to this point? I like something practical. Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit, he said, be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. So you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will now start dwelling in your heart by faith. That heart there is not spirit, it's your soul. Because Christ is already inside here. So Christ will dwell in your heart by faith. Then he said the next thing is that you will become rooted and grounded in love. The more Christ, the Christ nature dwells in your mind, your will, your emotions, the more rooted and grounded in love. You know what that thing means? It means that every temptation to irritation will not push you. Look at this pillar here. It's rooted and grounded inside that cement. If you try and push it, it will not push. If the wind comes against it, it will not move. You will get winds of irritation, winds of fear, winds of anger, winds of something. It will move like this, but you will stay rooted. It moves you like this, you will stay rooted. The more Christ dwells in your heart by faith, the more rooted and grounded you are in love. So that nothing will move you from your love wall. No amount of provocation. And Jesus is the example. They slapped him. Prophesy. Who are you? Who are you? You say you are God. You say you are a prophet. Who slapped you? Can you imagine the insult? They took a stick, knocked it on his head, put a crown of thorns on his head, and took his clothes. They stripped him naked. Then they knelt down to him and they were hitting him on the head. Hail, King of the Jews. And here's somebody who had the command of 12 legions of angels. Bible says, and he said nothing. Rooted and grounded in love. Then the next stage, you begin to comprehend with all saints, the good saints and the bad saints. Hello, somebody. That sounds like a misnomer, but it is not, because the Bible says, in a great house, there are many vessels, gold, silver, wood, and earth. They are all in the house, so they are all saints. So there are wood saints, there are earth saints, there are gold saints, and there are silver saints. You're going to love all of them the way God loves them. You're going to be accommodating with them the way God is accommodating to them. You know why? You'll become rooted and grounded in love. The irritation of the earth and the wood saint will not remove you from love. You will treat them the way God will treat them. You will have mercy on them the way God will have mercy on them. And I gave this example when I was preaching last week about Joseph. Look at how Joseph treated his brothers. Comprehend with all saints. Those boys deserved death. They wanted to kill their brother. They didn't try. They were going to kill him. It was Reuben who begged them. He's our blood. Don't kill him. You know, and they were going to kill him. So, you know, Reuben put him in a pit. Then he saw this band of Ishmaelites and said, okay, let's sell him. They said, well, okay, that's as good as killing him. Okay, put him away. That's why they were so afraid what Joseph would do. And he was tempted to do something. Trust me. But he was rooted and grounded in love. So he was able to comprehend with all saints, all of his brothers. Not only Benjamin, who is his mother's child, all of them, and Naphtali and Zebulun and all these bad boys. Levi, you know, terrible boys. He was able to comprehend with all of them. You know what? He saw beyond them and saw the purpose of God. Had he killed any of them, he would have killed the whole tribe of Israel. Salamakrutofrenes. They would not be 12. He saw beyond them. You have to see beyond what your brethren are doing and see the ultimate purpose of God. And that's why you have to be accommodating. You know, just ask life for them. Pray for them. Be merciful unto them. Hallelujah. That I'm able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. Now what we're singing today, Oga, Oji, Ofe. They got it. They got it. Amen. They didn't know it was in the message. Praise the Lord. That's why it's good to sing by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Yes. Then you will know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. So when people don't have knowledge, you will not disturb your love for them. You will not love people because they have knowledge or they don't have knowledge. You will love them because God loves them. That's what that scripture means. Then it is when you get there, you are now ready for the destination, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the roadmap. Could you know?
People are saying the road is far. You have been walking this thing for some time. Turn to your neighbor and say, God will have mercy. And he will help you. Eh? You will mount up with wings as eagles. You will run and you will not be weary. You will walk and you will not faint. You will get there. By the blood, the word, and the spirit. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Filled with all the fullness of God. We're in the season now. And God has given us a little sign. Not much, but it's a sign in the right direction to encourage us that you're on the track. You're on track. Don't ever say we're on track. Hallelujah. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Talk to God. These messages require a response of fresh rededication. I know we've dedicated before. That's why it has to be fresh. The manna that came from heaven was always fresh every day. It's fresh. A fresh consecration to this purpose that God... So it's available. All the fullness of God. I'm not going to miss it. Spirit, soul, and body. In this life... So that I can be a blessing to humanity. You literally become a savior. Literally. And watch this. When Jesus was raised from the dead, after that he didn't have to die again. You suffer for a while, then after, God will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and set to you. The rest of your life, you will spend your years in prosperity and your days in pleasure. So suffer it now, quickly, get the suffering over, and get into the glory. Hallelujah. The more you delay the suffering, the longer it's going to take you. So might as well suffer it now. Fellowship of his sufferings. And then, you know, attain unto the spiritual and moral resurrection that will lift you out of from death even while in the body. Talk to God. If I can help anybody. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Say, God, I make a fresh dedication. I make a fresh dedication. To allow to be strengthened in the demand. That's why you need to pray every day. Life scriptures, pray in tongues, pray with growing, strengthen in a man so that Christ will dwell in the soul by faith. Then you become rooted and grounded in love. Then you'll be able to comprehend with all saints the blood, brain, and depth of life. Then you know the love of Christ is greater than knowledge. Then you start approaching that point where you can be filled with all the fullness of God. Talk to God. It's a roadmap. Thank you, Jesus.